Deuteronomy chapter 27. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Deuteronomy 27, verse 1. And Moses, with the elders of Israel, commanded the people, saying, keep all the commandments which I command you this day. When we speak the word of God, we need to speak it with authority. The Bible says that Moses commanded the people to keep God's commandments. When we speak the word of God, we are standing in the gap for God. And he would never cringe or apologize for his word, or shrink back in any form, and neither should we. It is the word of God. It is the authority, and so it should be spoken with that authority. 2, and it shall be on the day when you shall pass over Jordan unto the land which the Lord your God gives you, that you shall set thee up great stones and plaster them with plaster. They were to do this on the day they cross over the Jordan. If they put it off, they may get busy with other things and forget about it completely. Do it right away. Verse 3, and you shall write upon them all the words of this law when you are passed over, that you may go in unto the land which the Lord your God gives you, a land that flows with milk and honey, as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you. So these huge stones were sort of like ancient billboards. Billboards with a message of holiness. Billboards which reminded them that they were responsible to God. Verse 4, therefore it shall be when you be gone over Jordan that you shall set up these stones which I command you this day in Mount Ebal, and you shall plaster them with plaster. Mount Ebal was where God appeared to Abraham for the very first time. He said, Abraham, I'm going to give this land to your descendants. And now, centuries later, God is doing that exact thing. The choice of this location would serve to drive home God's faithfulness. 5. And there you shall build an altar unto the Lord your God, an altar of stones. You shall not lift up any iron tool upon them. You shall build the altar of the Lord your God of whole stones, and you shall offer burnt offerings upon thereon, I should say, unto the Lord your God. And you shall offer peace offerings, and shall eat there, and rejoice before the Lord your God. The altar is a way to approach God. That's what an altar is. And God says, don't use any skills, any human skills, to fancy up this altar. Just use regular, plain old stones and leave it like that. And the lesson for us is this. We can't approach God on the basis of our good works or of our skills. We have nothing to offer God in ourselves that would make us acceptable to him. Verse 8. And you shall write upon the stones all the words of this law very plainly. In other words, make sure my holy word is legible. If God's word isn't recorded in a way that it can be read, then forget it. You know, I like the King James Version. I think it's based on the best manuscripts, the received text, and I've done a lot of research into that subject over the years, and I'm convinced that is the best basis for a modern translation. But if you don't understand it, you've got problems, see? Because the language has changed. Now, I am currently using the King James Version with the words that I've been, some of the words that are archaic or have changed meanings, they've been updated. But it's still the old King James Version, although some would give me a hard time and disagree with me about that, but they are. And this particular translation has removed the THs and the ESTs at the end. But other than that, okay, it is the King James based on the received text. But if you can't understand the old King James, then my goodness, get one that's updated, because there are several floating around out there. And also, the latest translation as I make this recording to be based on the received text is the MEV, the Modern English Version. And that is a very readable text. And like I said, it's based on the received text. And I do use that sometimes and may at some point completely switch over to that. But at any rate, the point is this. You're not doing God any favors. And you're not doing anyone else any favors if you force them to read a translation of the Holy Word of God that they don't understand. You might as well give them a Polish Bible. Honestly. God says, make sure that my word is legible, readable. You get it. 9. And Moses and the priests, the Levites, spoke unto all Israel, saying, take heed and hearken, O Israel, this day. You are become the people of the Lord your God. You shall therefore obey the voice of the Lord your God and do his commandments and his statutes, which I command you this day. Moses says, be quiet and listen. Today you've become the people of God. Be quiet and listen. Lesson. Not listen, but lesson for us. Read the Word of God in a quiet place where there are no distractions. Do it where you can be quiet and where you can listen. God deserves that sort of undivided attention from us. And not only that, he has a blessing for us, but we won't pick up on it if we can't concentrate long enough to let it soak in. Verse 11, and Moses charged the people the same day, saying, these shall stand upon Mount Gerizim to bless the people when you are come over Jordan, Simeon and Levi and Judah and Issachar and Joseph and Benjamin. And these shall stand upon Mount Ebal to curse Reuben, Gad, and Asher, and Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. And the Levites shall speak and say unto all the men of Israel with a loud voice. Stop there for a second. So here you see, we have the Levites standing in the valley between the two mountains. They're given the duty of pronouncing the blessings and the curses. Verse 15. This is what they're supposed to say. In a loud voice, cursed be the man who makes any graven or molten image, an abomination unto the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsmen, and puts it in a secret place. And all the people shall answer and say, Amen. Some people can go on for days, months, and even years in their sin and keep it hidden from others. But God is the one they have to reckon with for their sin. He's the one who curses the one who sins. Even if no one else knows about it, the curse is activated. 16. He continues, cursed be he who sets light by his father or his mother. And all the people shall say, Amen. Anyone who despises the authority of their parents is under a curse. In other words, evil and harm are knocking at the door of that rebellious soul. 17. Cursed be he who removes his neighbor's landmark, and all the people shall say, Amen. When the people say Amen, they were acknowledging that they understood and agreed with the curse. Verse 18. And that was about stealing somebody else's personal property. 18. Cursed be he who makes the blind to wander out of the way, and all the people shall say, Amen. This is a terrible thing to do. You know, maybe once the evil from the curse hits home on this person and he feels the pain, he might be more sensitive to the sorrow that he has caused a blind person or a handicapped person in general, because that is the principle. 19. Cursed be he who perverts the judgment of the stranger, fatherless, and widow, and all the people shall say, Amen. So this is talking about failure to show kindness to everyone, even the least among us. 20. Cursed be he who lies with his father's wife, because he uncovers his father's skirt, and all the people shall say, Amen. And this is probably referring to a stepmother or a father's concubine, but either way, God categorizes it as incest, it is sin. 21. Cursed be he who lies with any manner of beast, and all the people shall say, Amen. Bestiality was actually prominent among the previous inhabitants of the land of Canaan, among the heathen. And men and women are not animals. In spite of what some people will tell you today, it's very popular to say that. It's just not true. And presumably, bestiality would be done in secret, but God would see it, and he would curse, whether anybody knows about it or not. 22. Cursed be he who lies with his sister, the daughter of his father, or the daughter of his mother, and all the people shall say, Amen. Verse 23. Cursed be he who smites his neighbor secretly, and all the people shall say, Amen. So, 23 or 22 dealt again with incest. It's a sin that brings a divine curse, like any other sin. Again, verse 24, cursed is he who smites his neighbor secretly, and all the people shall say, Amen. There will be a curse on anyone who intentionally hurts another, even if there are no witnesses. Again, it doesn't matter because God is the witness of all things. 25. Cursed be he who takes reward to slay an innocent person, and all the people shall say, Amen. That's talking about a contract killing, I should say. If you get paid to kill someone, you can't say, well, I'm just doing my job. A paid killer is a killer, and he's under the curse. 26. Cursed be he who confirms not all the words of this law to do them, and all the people shall say, Amen. God demands total obedience to his law, both in private and in public.